Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your people again. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, right offhand, I need to say to you guys that I started to do this sermon in one way, and God really revealed to me that I had missed it just a little bit. And so the reason why you've got three different gospel passages is because I'm a little slow sometimes. And so, you know, and I actually, there's probably one more I should have put in there, truth be told. But this is the message that I think I'm supposed to preach to you about the Holy Spirit. And we can use these verses, but I'm not going to get into them as deeply as I intended to at first. If you look at those verses, they all reflect what the Holy Spirit is going to do when He comes, His job description. First of all, it's good to know you don't have to worry about being the one who convicts people of their sin. The Spirit of God is actually doing that, okay? But also know that if there is somebody that you desperately want to see become a follower of Jesus, know that you're not working alone. The Holy Spirit is already at work with that person. So it's just a little in your corner, kind of a silent partner. You can know that He is at work. Be aware that you're not in this alone. Very comforting. Also a lot of comfort about what Jesus says. The Spirit's going to be our helper, our comforter, our teacher, our equipper. He's going to remind us of the things that Jesus says. Now, a lot of our students just finishing up school, I know this is going to be painful to mention a school analogy for a second, but just hear me out. A lot of times we go to school and we memorize information to regurgitate it on a test to get a grade. That's not the kind of learning and teaching that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us of the things, to bring remembrance to the things that Jesus was teaching, that are His will for our lives, that He wants us to understand. And He's to reinforce those things, not just that we'll know stuff, but that the knowing would combine with our faith and that we would actually experience God in a new way. As a matter of fact, I want to sort of debunk the whole Holy Spirit this morning because that's, you know, it's important to understand. When we talk about experiencing the Holy Spirit, some people go, never heard of it. Some people go, oh, heck no, I don't want to experience the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you've heard things or you've seen things that scared the living bejeebies out of you, right? With regard to, you didn't know I was going to go with that. They scare you about the Holy Spirit. First time I ever really had anybody talk to me about the Holy Spirit, I was a junior in high school. My youth minister had resigned to go down to Bradenton to lead a youth ministry, and I found myself teaching middle schoolers as an 11th grader in high school. I had a group of kids that would come to my house on Thursday night, I think it was, and we would do Bible study together. I was de facto their youth minister. And so, you know, like any other teacher, Bible study teacher, science teacher, every once in a while you need a break. And so my friends who were older than me were coming home from school. They were down at Stetson University. And they said, oh, we want to lead your Bible study this week. I said, great, you know. I'm a junior in high school. I don't really want to work anyway. So, yeah, I do the Bible study. Well, they show up. I knew these guys. They were people that had helped me come to faith in Christ. And unbeknownst to me, they had been down at Stetson during this whole charismatic movement. Okay? So they come in wanting to talk about the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. And about 2 minutes into it, I'm going, oh, my gosh. I am so over my head here. What am I going to do? Because I don't have any clue what they're talking about. They're freaking all the middle schoolers out, you know, which doesn't take a whole lot anyway. And so they're running, you know, and I'm kind of going, you know, luckily my mom was in the next room and she came in and we kind of talked through things and we kind of calmed them down and stuff. But that was my first experience with people talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't help but thinking about what we get quoted here in our Acts passage, the second lesson, which talks about the day the Holy Spirit was given. Now, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, during the Feast of Pentecost, which is an Old Testament Hebrew feast, He came in great power. I mean, I'm talking tongues of fires, which you read here, you know, coming down on people. You've got a wind and you've got a big tropical storm kind of a thing happening, okay? How many of you guys want to sign up for that, right? No, thank you. I don't care to do that. And for a lot of people, that's what they think. They think all this sort of mighty winds and loud noises and tongues of fire, and it freaks them out. And so it should, because it's a little freaky, you know? Now, why did God display the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way that first time? Well, first of all, understand, God had been sending prophets and godly men and women for hundreds and hundreds of years saying, one day I will pour out my Spirit on all people. In other words, I will make my Holy Spirit available to all of you, not just to a few. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit might come upon somebody like Samson for a little while. He'd have great strength. He'd do some act, and then the Spirit would leave. Or maybe the Spirit would give somebody a certain talent, an artistry or in leadership or something. They'd anoint them for a very special cause, and then the Spirit would depart. But God kept forecasting, kept saying, one day I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all people, and all of you will have my Spirit within you. That was the prophecy. There would be this giving of the Spirit. We talked about a couple weeks ago that, you know, Jesus was glorified after the resurrection, but he had bodily presence. He was in one place. He was either with the disciples or he would disappear and go someplace else, right? But he said, when I go to be with the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, the same Spirit, God in Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, can be at all places. He can be with Ed Nolan, and he can be with me, and he can be with Rick Gehry, and he can be with Jan Thrower up in Keystone. You know, he can be all these places at the same time. But more important than being with us, the promise was that the Spirit would be poured out in our hearts, that we would actually receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to understand that. I don't understand that. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It blows from places we can't see, and it goes to places. We're just glad that the Holy Spirit, that the wind blew a different direction so that we don't have smoke all over Gainesville today, right? That, you know, this, we don't understand how does that work? There's a fire and a latch with someplace, and I can drive to Jacksonville and it's clear, and I drive to Gainesville and I feel like I'm back in a smoking environment or something. I don't know. It's crazy, right? We don't understand those things. We don't have to understand how the Holy Spirit works, but the promise is that the Spirit will come. And so when the Spirit comes for that very first time, of course it's going to be with a big bang. I mean, how else? You know, what if he just came real subtly? You know, it's like, how would they have known? How could they have recorded? We think the Holy Spirit was poured out, but we're not really sure, you know. Some say he came. Others said they didn't know what, you know. No, when the Spirit was given, it came in a powerful way with all those signs because it was the fulfillment of the promise. Been blessed a lot this week by a little book that I recommend to all of you guys by a guy named John Stott, who's an Anglican priest. He's really old now, but he's a great guy, lives in England. And I found this at the thrift store for like 50 cents. So, you know, yay thrift store. So you would be really blessed by that book. One of the things that John Stott says is that thank you. My detail man. Baptism and fullness. The work of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Jose. Great book. And one of the things that John Stott says is that, you know, it wasn't even the typical way for the Holy Spirit to come on people in the New Testament to be like the first day at Pentecost. When Jesus was particularly filled for a part of his ministry, there's nothing about tongues of fire and loud voices, loud noises and rushing through. When Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, as a matter of fact, many of the accounts of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing recorded about tongues of fire or loud voices, loud noises, or rushing winds. It was a very unusual way the Holy Spirit came. Now this ties back to our Gospels. Jesus doesn't say anything about outward signs, miraculous. He talks instead about a very, very methodical, very routine, the Spirit will come, the Holy Spirit will come to you. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't come in some dramatic ways. He can. I'm just saying that even by the record of the Bible, the way that he came on the day of Pentecost was unusual. And what I would suggest to you is that rather than focusing on that unusual way and that very dramatic thing and being afraid of the Holy Spirit, we need to see that what Jesus was promising was that the Spirit is available to come to be with us. Now, first of all, know that every person who has received Christ, everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, has the Holy Spirit already in them. The Holy Spirit is already living in us. On the day of Pentecost, they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because before then, no one had ever just received the Holy Spirit to come live with us. But when you became a believer in Jesus, however old you are, wherever that was, that's when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He came to be a part of you at that moment. Now, yes, He comes on us. He gives us special abilities. And some of you are very talented in music or in counseling or in leadership or in servanthood and all the different ways. He does that just like He did in the Old Testament. He also comes on us in emergency times. Someone was saying to me, I don't know how that person can walk through the difficult life they're living. And I heard another person say, yeah, well, when you need the grace, God gives the grace. And that grace that God gives you to walk through hard things, that's the Holy Spirit. And yes, He does. But He's with us always. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you. The problem is, the Bible says that the reason why Jesus says He needs to continue to have the Holy Spirit teach us and bring to remembrance and to be our helper and our comforter is that we tend to not allow the Holy Spirit to work as fully in our lives as He can. We tend to leak, okay? And we tend to leak. Not that the Holy Spirit ever departs from us, but the Scripture does say that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, that we can quench the Holy Spirit, that we can sort of press the Holy Spirit down to where He's not able to do as much in our lives as He intends to do. When Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Spirit to teach you these things, remember these things, it's not just about knowledge, as I said. It's about knowledge that, combined with our faith, means that we experience the Holy Spirit in new ways. And I don't mean necessarily, especially I don't mean big outward signs. I mean spiritual growth. I mean growing as a follower of Christ. And to do that, we need the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has promised Him, so all we have to do is ask for Him. Paul, quoting in Ephesians chapter 5, says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit." That's a present continual action, meaning that it's not a one-time thing. Okay, you've got the Holy Spirit, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. And because we need to ask that God would grow our capacity to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to allow the Spirit to do His work in us. This is one of those times in my life where it just sort of like, all this sort of came together, and I realized, you know, it's like, okay, over in Galatians, you probably have heard at some point in Vacation Bible School or someplace else, you've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and two others that I left out. All those fruit of the Spirit, those are all works of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul is saying be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying ask that God would fill you up with His Spirit so that you would begin to bear the kind of fruit that's reflected in being loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and self-controlled and on and on. Paul says when you're filled with the Spirit, there's some things that will reflect in your lives. You'll begin to speak to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That doesn't mean I'll walk up to Bob Doak and go, you know, "Shall we gather at the river?" But it means that I will speak into his life and that I will care about his spiritual growth and I will want to have fellowship with Bob in the Spirit. Or I would sing to Bob, but that's just because he would sing back to me. So it says that we will have thankful hearts, that we'll no longer be people who are consumed with our grumblings about life, but that we would see God's blessing on our lives. It says that we will enter into lively worship and that we would learn to be submissive to each other, one to the other, out of love for Christ. You know what? It's not about winning an argument or proving my right or getting my way. It's about what will bless God and what will lead his people. These are all, again, these are all fruit of the Spirit. And this is the work that the Lord wants to do in our lives. I want so much for you guys as your pastor. I want so many things. I want to see you grow. Not because I can see all your flaws. I can see some of your flaws. You can see some of my flaws too. But because I want to see you walk in the fullness of the Spirit. But you know what? What has dawned on me is it's a work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to quit pushing so much, you know. Well, maybe not. But I'm going to be praying more. Because I think what Paul is saying is here is that really it has to be a work of his Holy Spirit. If we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to be because we're full with the Holy Spirit. And as we're filled up with the Holy Spirit and we're allowing him to do his work in us, the fruit's going to come. Now, we have a role to play in it. Paul, again, uses the analogy. He says it's like you have two fields, you know, two fields that you can plant in. He says one field over here is the flesh. You know, it's the griming and complaining, it's the kind of the, you know, sort of like, you know, living for the almighty dollar, it's sort of, you know, it's refusing to forgive people, it's going to get my way, all that. You can sow into that field, or you can sow into this other field, which is the field of the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, he says, God is not mocked. What a man reaps, what he sows, he will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will read to the Spirit. So we have a place to play, a part to play in this, but the work is always to ask that God would fill us with his Spirit, that we would begin to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to pray for you more. It's one of the things I've committed to. I actually have started some index cards. I've got your names written down, and I was looking at a map where people live, and it's really cool this morning. I was like, oh, you live, Linda, you live over by, you know, by Jim Sunwall. And, you know, it was really cool, but it's really helping me to pray for you. And I want to pray the prayer more and more, the one that Paul prays for the church in Ephesians. He says, you know, look, I pray for you every time God brings you to remembrance. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be open. You know this prayer, but let me just... I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power. That's what we need, friends. We need to have an enlightened understanding of who God is and that he's put his Spirit in us. And we need to understand, Jesus is saying, look, I want the Holy Spirit to teach you so that you will have the faith to step out and experience the life that I have intended to give you. We talked a couple last weeks, we've been talking about Jesus saying, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. It's life lived in the Spirit. And we don't have to understand the Holy Spirit. We just have to ask. And the Holy Spirit's the most unassuming God in the entire world. I mean, he doesn't even want to bring glory to himself. Jesus says, the Spirit is going to point back to me, Jesus, he says. And he's going to glorify me. So every time you've been kind of caught up saying, man, Jesus, you are so awesome. I cannot believe you would actually give your life for me. That's the Holy Spirit turning your heart back to Christ and helping you remember. And that same Spirit that's already working in you wants to increase your fullness of him. John Stott, one last analogy, he says, you know, you can have a little baby, you know, a six-week-old baby, and they can fill their lungs up with air. And then you can have a big 6'2", you know, 125-pound man fills his lungs up with air. Now, both lungs are filled with air, right? But the capacity of each is different. What did I say wrong? It's like, I'm like seeing this whispering. It's like, is it the Holy Spirit? No, you just, 225, so. I was saying, do I say 250 or 200? So anyway. All right. Big guy, okay? 225. He's breathing in big lungs. The capacity of the lungs is greater. The spirit's still there in that baby's lungs, they're the full there, but the capacity. We need to pray that God would increase our capacity. That's this fullness that they were talking about. Jesus said, look, if you ask, I will give you living waters that will literally flow out of you. And then he goes on to explain that when he says that in John chapter 7, that that's the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't have to understand it. We just have to receive it. God longs to pour out his Spirit on us. And you know, it comes down to simply this, saying, you know, I freaked out that experience of those older folks coming to my youth group and sharing that. So, but you know, 6 to 8 months later, on the beach with my family on vacation, I said, you know, Lord, at the end of the road here, I want to be full of your Holy Spirit as much as I can. So if there's more of you, if there's something more to experience of you than I've already experienced, I want it. And I said, so just fill me, baptize me, do whatever you're going to do, but give me all your Holy Spirit. You know what happened after that? No loud sounds, no rushing wind, no firing tongues. But I did feel empowered and prompted to share my faith with another teenager that was on vacation, the same condo we were. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the gift of the Spirit. That's what we remember on Pentecost. The God who is faithful has made his Spirit available to each of us, regardless of age, whatever. And he simply says, ask, and I will fill you. So let's ask. Can we? Can we just pray? Can I just pray for us? Just bow your heads. If you know and love and trust the person next to you, maybe just put a hand on them and say, Lord, we thank you. You promise that if we ask, you will let living waters flow out of us, that your Spirit will begin to do this work, that we will begin to see the fruit of the Spirit lived out in our lives, Lord, because we simply ask. And so, Lord, we ask. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, be at work in us. Teach us to love each other, Lord. Teach us what it means to enter into lively worship, to what it means to be mutually submitted to each other, to learn how to be people of thankful hearts. Lord, we've heard, we've gained knowledge. Now, Lord, give us the faith to ask, and we know you'll be faithful to give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, Lord, who promises to be with us and to fill us and to teach us things, Lord, that we still do not yet know. And we ask it in your name. Amen.